Here we go.
Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love.
This is another Dolphins podcast.
Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thank you for tuning in to another edition of another Dolphins podcast. Week 4 is around the corner. The Miami Dolphins are hosting the Tennessee Titans on Monday Night Football. We have quarterback talk. We have injury updates. But before all of that, what's going on, Joshua Houts?
Not a lot, man. Just pick the kids up at school, and I get to come on here, and we get to talk about injury news, the Miami Dolphins, and another primetime game. So as good as we can be, right, coming off that loss to the Seahawks. How have you been, Jake? How's your week going?
It's a busy, busy week. Josh, I have a bit of a weird question for you. You're the expert chef of the podcast. What's your go-to way of using prosciutto?
Prosciutto. Normally, they just crisp it up for a salad. That was always the cliche way to use it, but you know, I know veal. I think you pound out a veal cutlet and wrap it in that veal saltimbocca, I think it's called. So it's been a little bit, but yeah, I guess my go-to would probably be the salad, but that's the cop-out, and that's just kind of what I was taught. If they ever threw a mystery ingredient at me, just use it as bacon, man.
That's smart. I do that. I put it on my pizza. When we make pizza at home, it's always prosciutto on top. But Josh, the reason I'm bringing this up today is because during my day job today, I had like a Tony Soprano moment, where I just got a smile on my face because I was recording this presentation with this very, very smart researcher, and she was discussing Raman spectroscopy and Raman scattering. And these are things that might go over people's heads, but long story short, she's using prosciutto to help identify a process that could eventually help unveil deep-seated tumors in the brain. So they were basically using prosciutto to, because it has a lot of the same texture as like the skin cells they're trying to look through, basically, to identify these tumors. So, dude, it was just insane to me seeing this relatively graphic video and then to see a picture of prosciutto there. I just had the Italian in me had to smile a little bit. So I thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, and a fun fact, when I was in culinary school, I actually made duck prosciutto. It was just literally, I think you just put like salt and it was like three ingredients. And you just left it in the fridge for a few weeks. It cured it and it was pretty damn good. So it's not hard to make. But yeah, man, that's awesome that they use prosciutto to, you know, kind of demonstrate things like that.
Versatility. That's the best way I could describe it. A lot to get through on today's show, so I don't want to go too deep into that conversation. Josh, it's been a busy week. We kicked it off, if anyone hasn't listened yet, we kicked it off with 5 questions we cannot believe we're asking just 3 weeks into the NFL season. And then yesterday on the show, Jen Forbush joined me, a fellow Massachusetts resident dash Dolphins fan. We aired some grievances about the 2024 Miami Dolphins. Like I said, if you haven't checked out that show, I recommend it. But Josh, Mike McDaniel is saying that he thinks he knows who's going to start at quarterback against the Tennessee Titans, but he doesn't want to reveal that for competitive reasons. Who you leaning?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be Snoop Huntley at this point, right? I mean, he can do this for competitive reasons, and I kind of, you know, realize that is why he's doing this. That is why he's leaving the thing open, because you almost have to game plan for the entire playbook if it's going to be Skylar Thompson, where opposed to if it's Snoop Huntley, everyone knows it's going to be a little bit more simplified, that zone read style offense. But after what we saw from Skylar Thompson, after his chest imploded, after how poor he looked, come on, man, do not trot him out there. And we've seen enough of Tim Boyle, so I think we're going to be mad if it's not Snoop Huntley.
The sicko in me is kind of power ranking Tim Boyle above Skylar Thompson. There's part of me, Josh, I just can't get over the fact Tim Boyle had more rushing yards than a healthy Skylar Thompson. I think as we cooled off from Sunday's game, I think the offensive line played a little better than we originally thought. I think Miami had some receivers running open downfield a little more than we originally thought. And in reality, they just couldn't make things happen. Yes, there were way too many penalties. And yes, there were issues along the offensive line. But somehow, Josh, the more I kind of think about that game, they had a shot, despite all those issues, to overcome them and figure something out.
Yeah, and that's what we hope is going to come of this, right? I mean, we sit here and we think that we have a coach and Mike McDaniel that I had a meme or a header on Twitter, you know, an outside the box offensive mastermind, this outside of the box thinker. He needs to figure out a way to do more than they did last week, right? And again, it wasn't all just the play calling. Skylar Thompson, again, was a little bit over his head, but to think Tim Boyle was, you know, led the quarterbacks in rushing, yeah, that can never happen again, man.
So Joshua Houts, for people who are new to the podcast, we are both writers for the Finsider, and you dropped a dime today where you kind of dove into some recent film about Tyler Snoop Huntley, what you saw, what you liked, what you didn't. Simply put, Josh, is Miami getting a former Pro Bowl quarterback?
I mean, they are, right? And it's just so funny because I have everybody reminding me, like, everyone needs to temper their expectations. This guy wasn't on someone's practice squad. And I'm like, okay, I mean, I sat here and got hyped for, like, Luke Falk before. We talked about Brock Osweiler, some of these absolute terrible quarterbacks. Yeah, Tyler Thigpen. So I am hyped to see what Snoop Huntley can do. If you watch the film, I mean, that's kind of what I went back to last season and saw what he did. He started for the he started against Pittsburgh Steelers in week 18. He completed 15 of 28 passes for 146 yards, one touchdown. In that game, though, I mean, he got the ball out quick, but what really stood out to me was the way he could extend plays with his legs and just adding that element. I mean, I don't know about you, Jake, but they kind of teased us a little bit back in the day when they drafted Pat White. They kind of showed us, okay, we're going to get this dual threat quarterback. We're going to try to, like, revolutionize that Wildcat offense. Never happened. So I think since that very day, I always want this dual threat quarterback. I always joke about the visor, and now is our time. We're going to get 26-year-old Snoop Huntley. At least in my opinion, I think that's the way to go, and I'm excited to see what Mike McDaniel brings from his experience. Like you said, 2012 rookie year RG3, the zone read option, how it took the NFL by storm, how he implements that into Miami, because let's be honest, that stresses the defense and opens things up for Devon Achane, Jalen Wright, maybe Raheem Mostert. I mean, so it's going to be a different look to offense if Snoop Huntley's out there, but it's one that I'm excited for.
Do you think it's not that close? I think it's not that close. I think when you look at Tim Boyle, Snoop Huntley, and Skylar Thompson, I think that you got to ride with Tyler Huntley moving forward, at least for a couple games. I don't think you can go back to Skylar right away. I don't want to completely compare this to what's happening with the Panthers, despite the fact the Panthers scored 36 points last week and Miami's only scored 33 points this entire season. I don't think it'd be a scenario where if Miami's tossing these guys in and out, it wouldn't be like a huge demoralizing thing. These are all guys who are fighting to prove they belong on NFL rosters. But man, Tyler Huntley sounds a little exciting. And you mentioned though that RG3 type branch off this offense has. I do recommend everyone, Michael Silver, who's covered the San Francisco 49ers forever. He just released a new book and it goes all into that Shanahan tree about this offense, how you can kind of get away with RG3, but how it's better with someone like Kirk Cousins. So little tangent there, but I agree with you, Josh. 3-6 as a starting QB in his career, that means he has won three games, and that's something Miami needs to focus on right now.
Yeah, and again, I mean, we sit here and talk about some of the instability on the offensive line. His ability to, you know, extend plays with his legs adds a whole different element to that offense. So he's not a guy that's going to go out there. And again, we say rookie year RG3, that's a joke, right? He's not going to be breaking records most likely, but, you know, stranger things have happened. But just to go out there and look competent enough in a game against Tennessee Titans, I mean, at this point, if we finish 2-2 after, you know, the start to this season, yeah, I think we'd all feel pretty good about that. So I'm in Snoop Huntley, we trust. I'm sitting here getting hyped for it. I know we shouldn't be, but I think it'll be so Dolphins if they come out and they announce like Tim Boyle the starter, right? Like, or even Skylar Thompson, they try to trot him out there with his imploded chest. Like, that would be the Mike McDaniel thing right now.
Oh, man, that's the thing about a Mike McDaniel press conference. You kind of have a feeling you're decoding what's happening, but then when he actually goes through with something, man, it's a total disaster. The Miami Dolphins, Josh, at least at some positions, continue to scan the waiver wire and look for upgrades. How about defensive tackle? They added Neil Farrell, 26-year-old, a former fourth-round pick in the 2022 NFL draft. Josh, the Dolphins were sniffing around a couple defensive tackles, I think it was on Wednesday, but decided to add someone from the practice squad. I don't think this is a huge, like, revolutionary move here, but I think it's worth mentioning when you consider 9 games with the Raiders in 2022 and then 3 games, won a championship with the Chiefs last year.
Yeah, I mean, they think they swapped 6th-round picks. So, I mean, this is a guy that's only 26 years old. We know what the Dolphins have. You know, Calais Campbell, they're relying on him, and he's how old? So to get a guy in that maybe can be depth and maybe can, you know, maybe Anthony Weaver caught his eye or whatever it might be, we could definitely use some depth on the defensive line. So maybe we get Neil Farrell. We see the guy that had, what, 144 tackles during his time at LSU, seven and a half sacks. I had 7.4 sacks. That's not possible. So it would be nice to have him, you know, maybe become a depth piece there, but I don't think we should get too hyped over a Neil Farrell signing, not this early in the season.
But Josh, this is what good football teams do. They scan the waiver wire. They're looking for ways to improve between the margins just consistently. Hey, let's try to improve the roster. Let's try to improve the practice squad. It's just crazy they can't do that with the offensive line.
Yeah, and I almost thought you were going to go to the segue into them not going after the quarterback, right? I thought you were going to sit here and touch on how they said they weren't going to trade for a quarterback. So that's also something that came out, right, in the last few days that it was – a lot of people were speculating, maybe Bryce Young. I know I joked about that. I think Russell Wilson, the let's ride EEE or whatever. You saw that meme. I was dying.
Oh, no. No, people are not doing that. Are they doing that?
Yeah, go look. I retweeted. Someone's like – he had water goggles on too, and he was doing the let's ride EEE like a dolphin. So – that would be absolutely awful. So, yeah, it doesn't sound like a good trade for someone, but with our luck, we'll get off here and the Russell Wilson trade will go down. But, yeah, check that out, man. I was like, okay, I can deal with Russell Wilson for those type of memes, right? Like, we get through the season with Russell Wilson. You're wearing your Cutler jersey.
I can't. No, I can't. See, that's the thing. I put on the Cutler jersey because I'm like, today's a new beginning. I don't want to be cranky. I don't want to complain about the Dolphins. I will complain so much because all we will be is the Melvin Gordon meme, when it's just, it's going to be Russ on the sideline doing what Skyler was on Sunday, just smiling. And we're just going to be all sitting there like, dude, really? No, we are not doing that. I'm putting my foot down on Russ Wilson. And Josh, I'm glad he brought it up, though, that it does seem like the Miami Dolphins aren't going to pursue a quarterback. And we spoke about this a little bit on the five questions following the Seattle game. The fact that Tua was there, the fact that Tua took the flight, it kind of felt like that was his way of signaling the Jordan facts, the I'm back, I'm going to come back. And it seems like if everything continues down that path, Tua will... knock on wood, if he's ready to come back, is comfortable to come back, and he wants to come back, will be only 4 weeks, and that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of where we're headed, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like Tua's going to hang it up. It sounds like everything's on par, and you know, if he just tunes out all the BS and they just go by what the doctor says, there's a very good chance we're probably going to see Tua Tagovailoa, you know, sooner than later. But you know, how awesome would it be if Snoop Huntley played well enough where we're sitting here like, had him do an emergency pod. Should we start Tua this week or let him sit one more week? And that would never happen for the Dolphins. But who knows, man? I just feel like we're getting ourselves set up for that long wait Monday, you know, getting all excited, and then we're just going to be let down. But in Snoop Huntley, we trust. It's not going to happen.
Teron Armstead, it was originally reported as an eye injury. He was poked in the eye, but he is in concussion protocol. His availability for Monday is unclear, but Josh, Kendall Lamb deserves an absolute shout-out. He stepped in for the Miami Dolphins. He played 41 snaps, and he didn't allow a single pressure. He was solid as a run blocker as well. 40 snaps at left tackle, one snap at right tackle when Austin Jackson had to quickly leave the game. But this is a scenario where the Dolphins did a good job, right? You aren't expecting Teron Armstead to be there for 17 games. Kendall Lamb, you have confidence in him as a backup. And Josh, it seems like Miami has two paths. They have the short-term backup in Kendall Lamb, somebody who early in the season, he's going to be fresh, he's going to be ready to go. But come November and December, if there's a reason that Teron Armstead can't go, dude, I think it's going to be Patrick Paul season.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, you got to, I don't know if we are, but a lot of people, you know, fire Chris Greer. Let's move on from this absolute disaster. But you have to give him credit where, you know, where they neglected the offensive line, at least they brought back Kendall Lamb at least.
You're going to make the YouTube comments mad. Yeah. I'm just letting you know right now, dude.
Already, yeah. So I'm tipping my hat to him for the, you know, realizing that Teron Armstead was going to get hurt, that you're going to have to rely on Kendall Lamb and perhaps have Patrick Paul anchor that side. So that was the only hat tip to Chris Greer. I'm okay firing him, Jake. I told you all the time, like, we fired him right back after the Brian Flores debacle. So we sat the entire thing out, and we're gonna sit the entire thing out and just enjoy this ride, because let's ride, baby. I don't even want to do the Dolphin.
I'm dying a little bit inside every single time you do that. Kendall Fuller, another player in concussion protocol for the Miami Dolphins. Josh, this is one to definitely keep your eyes on, because the Tennessee Titans, despite Monday night being the battle of the mid, they have an absolute trio. And just because of my Homer Dynasty Football League, I'm going to say a quartet of wide receivers. I'll throw Treylon Burks in there. But DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd, you want your CB2 out there next to Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, and Fuller's been very good. So it, not to have him, Storm Duck, didn't he get banged up? So could this potentially be Ethan Bonner's time to shine? And then, like you mentioned, man, they have very good receivers. That is not the game that you really want to step up. And then David Long is another guy that was also on the injury report, which we know this is a revenge game. We know that I don't think Vrabel's there anymore, but we know how I think he said he had like hamstring issues, and here we are. He did call this. He did say, oh, man, I didn't put two or two together until I said that out loud. But, yes, David Long was out of practice with a hamstring injury, but it sounds like he's going to do everything he can to get out there. But Yeah, man, Vrabel was right. I did not even realize that until I saw.
Little Pepe Silvia here, Josh, but is there any chance that we're undervaluing Raheem Mostert's impact on this offense? He returned to practice, and according to Adam Beasley, Pro Football Network, it seems like he's going to play after missing the last two games with a chest injury. Josh, I hear everyone, and I agree with everyone, that says Mike McDaniel should have been running the football more over the last couple weeks, especially with the backup quarterback in. I think there's some added context there that I think is needed when you consider that 30% of Miami's rushes, the most in the NFL, went for 0 yards in recent games. On top of that, it's been very confusing that you have someone like Jalen Wright averaging 9.5 yards per carry, and they only let him run the ball 2 times. I think that Mike McDaniel has such a trust in RB1 Raheem Mostert, where I think there will be a level of comfort just along the entire offense to see.
Yeah, and I think I kind of hinted at maybe Devon Achane was going to be that kind of guy that kind of held this whole offense all together. It seems like at least the run game and, you know, everything that Mike McDaniel wants to do, it might be Raheem Mostert. So it would be nice to have him back. I know a lot of people have him on their fantasy team and they're, you know, angry that he's not out there. But if you get Raheem Mostert back, again, using some of that zone read stuff, the defense have the game plan. Where's the ball going, right? You have Achane back there. You have Mostert. You have Ingold out. I mean, they have so many different options. But we're saying this, and Mike McDaniel's going to come out and throw again 50 times like Caleb Williams, and we're just going to be like, damn, dude, come on.
I really cannot understand the unwillingness to really let Jalen Wright be a bigger part of the game. I thought he was pretty good in pass protection last week. I mentioned the 2 carries. I mean, when you're investing that future pick in a player, especially a running back, especially somebody who can kind of just get them the ball, that's a warning sign for me right there, because I thought he played well, and this offense needs all the help.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, sometimes we sit here and we just defer and we're like, okay, these guys are smarter than us. You know, they're getting paid the big bucks, but you are wondering, why didn't he continue to run the ball? Why didn't Jalen Wright get more touches? You know, so things like that. So, I hope Mike McDaniel can rely on that, but we'll see, man.
Calais Campbell, I do not believe he practiced on Thursday, but Josh, I wouldn't worry too much about that one just because it seems like he's always getting the vet days off on Thursdays. But that is it. That is all we have for you guys today in terms of injury updates, in terms of quarterback, and a little bit of Gabagool talk. Thank you all so much for listening to another Dolphins podcast. We will be back actually later today with Kat to break down some of the biggest keys to Monday night against the Tennessee Titans. So you'll be hearing from us soon. But if you don't, have a wonderful weekend, and most importantly, fins up.
Fins up.